would love to welcome you to Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar program on Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics related to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brett Seast, and tonight's topic is on focusing your grasstops outreach effectively. One of the most critical elements we know of building political will for the Energy Innovation Act is spotlighting the support for business, civic, and faith leaders in your local district. So tonight we're going to be joined by National Partnerships Coordinator Stephanie Doyle and others in a training that's going to help you personally research your member, find major employers, focus your grasstops outreach, and prioritize the community leaders important for your member of Congress. So along with Stephanie tonight, we're going to have stories from the field in terms of Ben Pendergrass, CCL's Senior Director of Government Affairs. He'll share some reflections on what has worked well with grasstops relationships being built for members of Congress. And then we're going to, at the end, put all of this together with a story that features the amazing work that North Carolina's Asheville Group, with the leadership of Steffi Rausch and Donna Dew, their Southeast Regional Director, have really helped spearhead. You may have heard of the 99 Bottles of Beer on the Wall campaign. They're going to tell the story of how that all started and the effect that it's had on one key industry with one key member of Congress in their own district. Our agenda tonight is straightforward. We're going to first just zoom out and talk about why use grasstops in the first place. We'll then pass to Stephanie and we'll show you how to research influential people. We'll have a chance to discuss how to research impacted businesses as well. Again, then highlighting those examples from the field and then closing with some ideas for how you can bring that grasstops message to your member in Congress or in district. And with that, I will just start by mentioning this. So one of the great resources that we have at our disposal that we've worked with for many years is Congressional Management Foundation. Their work really essentially focuses on offices in Congress. They've been around for over 40 years and done surveys with actual members and staffers on both the House and the Senate side. And what these polls continually to show is that our voices make a difference in engaging Congress and in bringing grasstops leaders to the forum and to the table. We can help shift the dial on this critical issue. We use the terms grassroots outreach and grasstops engagement. And it might be confusing somewhat to really think through what each of those means. So again, just to kind of clarify, tonight's focus is on the grasstops. And when we say that, we mean really those people in the community that have many possible connections, that are often large employers or have a large associations or are figureheads in terms of faith backgrounds, you know, representing congregation or representing a whole city or local government, and have a large footprint within that community.
So we've reviewed grasstops and why they're important, and I'm going to pass the baton to Stephanie here in just a moment. But as the key central message for tonight's training, we're focusing your outreach because we want to streamline your time and resources. We know that doing research ahead of time will help your team find ways to connect with your member, be strategic in highlighting voices that will be most persuasive, and really targeting those with the limited time that you have, and be able to create a more methodical approach to balance those priorities. For example, given how key chambers of commerce are often in a lot of local districts, how can you best leverage the focus to get them on board as opposed to maybe more smaller businesses or mom and pop owned shops, which are also important but may not hold as much weight in influencing your members of Congress decision on this key issue?
Thanks, Brett. Hi, everybody. I'm Stephanie. I work in the DC office, and most of my work is doing outreach to other organizations and sort of all the groups that you guys work up the ladder to me. And so really wanted to chat with you tonight just about how to think about who you should be going after and how to even begin thinking about who's impactful to your member. And so when you're beginning to do research, you really want to look at these three areas. So the first one is the legislative profile. So this is finding out about your member's stance on party issues, what leadership they might have within the party, what committees do they serve on, and what other policies, maybe besides climate, are they passionate about that you can really leverage to bring in other voices to talk to them. And a lot of that you can find, a lot of this comes from the bios that we give out before meetings, but you can also do your own research, obviously, on their legislative background. And this will probably, out of all of these, would be the easiest information to find, just because it's public, it should be pretty easy to find. The second area is personal profile. So looking into your members' background, what religion are they? What school did they attend? What their profession was before they came to Congress, and possibly what clubs or interests they still participate in. Are they in a hunting club? Or are they in Rotary? Really thinking about who they were or are in the district, and how to think about those connections. Again, this is thinking a little bit outside the box. You're not thinking directly people who might be involved in climate change per se, but people that you know are going to, that your member is going to listen to. And so going to them to talk about our bill is going to be a bigger bang for your buck, because that's, instead of just some random person that you found, they should be somebody that has a connection to the member. And then the last one is personal. So this one, we also want to just give a caveat. We don't want you going out and stalking members' children or their wives or husbands. But if you do happen to have connections to a member of Congress's family, that's a really useful connection to have. So thinking about their spouse, their relatives, peers in the community, and connections basically, again, back home in the district. And I'll go into a little bit more detail on how to think about that. And so once you've sort of begun to think about these three areas, you really want to start thinking of mapping your members' connections. So again, thinking through your own chapter, do they have relationships with these people that you've now narrowed down? And do they have connections to Congress? So who in your chapter might have connections to these impactful people? Is it somebody that went to school with a member, or their child goes to school with a member? And you really want to use that research to help figure out who within your own chapter could be the most beneficial to go after those. Because it's going to be a lot easier to go from somebody who already has a connection than to just go cold turkey after somebody. So doing this, you could do a quick survey for your volunteers in your group. You can ask if they've ever met your Congress member before. Again, do they have connections in that second, third, or fourth degree? So do their daughters go to the same school? Were they on the same soccer team? Do you go to the same church as them? Live on the same street? And you might have connections in your chapter that you don't know about until you really start asking about it. And so taking the time at your chapter meeting to really think through and ask people, and ask them beyond just, do you know the member? But, you know, he went to this school, his kids go to this school. You might find that it's a third or fourth connection, but those can be really valuable once you start figuring out who it is that has those. And then you really want to work on having a system for organizing what information you find out. So whatever works for you, whether that's a spreadsheet or a Word document, but it's important to just be able to go back to that and make sure that you're keeping track of who's doing outreach to whom, and making sure that you're keeping notes of those relationships, so that if somebody leaves the chapter or somebody starts a connection but doesn't follow up with it, that you can make sure that somebody, either you or someone else in your chapter, can follow up with that.
So again, as Stephanie mentioned, we have the Member of Congress Biography and the Grasstops Engagement Tracker. I'm going to show you briefly how to use both of those tools. And then outside of that, we also have, you know, suggestions on starting with your own member's website. Usually, again, the simple way of just finding that is their last name, .house or Senate, and then .gov. And then other resource tools online like GovTrack, Congress.gov, Open Secrets, and then the members' pages on their own campaigns, their own social media streams from Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn to be able to really highlight the broad diversity of ways that clearly they're putting out their priorities, their connections to the community, and who they're listening to that you also might have that connection or that sixth degree of separation with. And so what we're going to do is highlight that we have an organizer example. We know that, looking even probably on tonight's call, I'm guessing that some of you are already using your own organizers. There's a great story that Madeline tells about her work when she was actually working for a campaign in D.C. Prior to Google spreadsheets or the cloud, people actually had card catalogs. They actually used other systems to be able to categorize and have an effective database. And we're really just suggesting that next step and really being able to systematize the way that you're doing that in your own chapter to have that thorough inventory, make sure to keep tracking, however that works for you. All right, so the best way I would recommend looking for bios is here I am on community. Just simply typing in bios is a great start, right, into the search tab. And it'll come up relatively easy to find here. Here's the Member of Congress bio page. And you can see that what we've done is transition all of them to be housed in our Google Drive folder. So we have them separately linked for both the Senate or the House. And let's just, for example, say that I'm looking for a House biography. And so I'm going to click on that bottom link. It's going to open up. And from there, you can see we scrape a lot of data from a lot of the websites that we've just highlighted to be able to conform to all of the information that we're looking for. But let's just say I'm really interested in Hakeem Jeffries, one of the congressional leadership on the Democratic side's background. I'm from his district, New York 8. And already on this one sheet of paper, we're giving you links to their own, personal website, their Facebook and Twitter pages, as well as a lot of background as far as, their leadership status, how long they've been in office, et cetera, any key committees. So right there is a lot to work with. Here you can see Georgetown University, New York University, and the State University of New York in Binghamton. So being able to highlight all of those. And then you can see below that, we've got basic information that they have on their website that you can also start building out some of that narrative to build those connections and find out what priorities that member has in alignment with your own community connections. All right, so based on everything that we've learned from Representative Jeffries' biography, and we haven't gone even into the details of what we found out from Open Secrets or from VoteSmart or any of the other social media platforms or LinkedIn that we've highlighted, I built out this sample example of how you can really leverage all of that information to figure out in your own community what connections you have. So for example, we know one of the local causes that Representative Jeffries is very passionate about is social and economic justice. We also know in our group, we have an economic organizer, Alex, is very active in the local community and has some connections that overlap with that local cause. So one key area that you can already start building out based on that local cause segment within your research is his own professional network to really start leveraging, seeing who and what else might be going on in those relationships to be able to tie in and have that connection built stronger. We know religious connections, backgrounds, of certain members and who might be available to also see if there's fellow congregation members to be able to attend service or find their social network within that network. We have all of the university alma mater and high school that we found out that Representative Jeffries attends, being able to figure out who might have connections there. We also knew his former professions before jumping into Congress, being counsel at CBS, having a variety of law firms, being able to clerk for a specific judge. And we have somebody in our group who used to work with CBS and is still actually around to be able to ask to see if they have other connections that might have known Representative Jeffries when he was counsel. You can also see here the key staff connections that you might also be able to look up on LinkedIn to see who in your network might know Mr. Coleman, Mrs. Litvak, etc. You can see even within family connections, we have a SEIU unit employee in our chapter that also might know Representative Jeffrey's wife, given that she's also a social worker with SEIU's benefit fund. We have chapter members like LaTanya, who took a class from the actual uncle of Representative Jeffries, who's a former professor at City College. We also know that we could look up even networks
His younger brother is an associate professor of history at Ohio State University. You can see through donor connections either on the Grasstops engagement tracker or Open Secrets, the larger businesses that are donating to prior campaigns, or also even smaller businesses for those connections to be able to help focus your connections and so forth. And Stephanie's going to talk about this in a little bit. But what you can do is even start a tab for each industry or areas that are key endorsers and supporters for that representative and start building out those organizational contacts for each of those sectors. The last thing to also highlight is that as new members come in, especially if you're able to ask them their own connections, those key questions, have they met the member before? Do they have connections with other members? It's a great idea to start tracking their own responses to help you plug in to your overall notes and spreadsheet of that actual database and organizer, what connections they might have if you've been in touch with them to help continue to leverage and build out those connections. So this is a great template. You're welcome to make a copy. And again, to do that, just click on File, Make a Copy, and then be able to build out or customize it as you see fit. But again, a really helpful way to start you keying in on those connections in your own district and who in your group might be able to have that network and build out your larger advocacy map of social networks. I'm just going to show one other thing, and that is the Grasstops Engagement Tracker. So if you're interested in also seeing if your chapter is a part of a larger district with other chapters, if there are efforts already being made to reach out for community leaders in that chapter or that larger district, go to the Grasstops Engagement Tracker. You can do that by, again, going to Community, and then under the Resources and Training tab, going over here to our Tools area. Under Tools, since it's a tool, you can see there's a short link right there, right to the tracker, or you can find it also on our General All Tool page, and then scroll down from there. And the thing I want to show here that a lot of people might not be aware of with the tracker is that as it loads, you can see that there's a whole tab about Member of Congress connections. And so what that's done is pulled a lot of the other information that we've talked about onto a database that essentially highlights a lot of information. So you can see in my case, I'm Kentucky 06. All of this, again, if you click in the Grasstops tracker to MOC connections, you can then go specifically to all of these dropdowns in the connection types. You can see recent lists of who has donated to the campaign. You can see recent lists of major businesses in your district. And this is a really key area to be able to kind of highlight and structure strategically your outreach, right? And I think the key trade-off for me is this in focusing your outreach. If we all had infinite amounts of time, we could be really successful because we'd reach out to everyone and we'd eventually get a hold of everyone and we'd feel really good because we get everyone signed on. But the whole point of the webinar tonight is that we realize that you are constrained with your own time and resources. And so these tools are hopefully going to be able to help you narrow down what's going to be the easiest or best or most promising leads based on how you can also use that to effectively influence your member. All right, so I'll pass it back to you, Stephanie. Let's do part two of really thinking about how we can also not only do research, but actively recruit impacted industries and district.
Yeah, so this one is a little bit different than the first one. So the first one is really focused on people that the member is connected to, that they listen to, that they have some emotional connection to. This is a little bit different. This is thinking through, again, trying to think outside the box a bit, but who in your district either is impacted by climate change that you might not have thought of before, or who is going to be impacted that may be able to have a conversation with your member from an angle that you haven't thought of before. So the most obvious one is thinking through who the biggest employers are. And sometimes this is hard because sometimes the biggest employer is a national organization or national business. And if that's the case, you really want to go through our DC office if you're going to try to do outreach to somebody who's that high up. But often there's going to be a smaller employer in your that's based in your district that should your members should listen to, because that's jobs and voters that they need. So really thinking through not even just who the biggest employer is necessarily, but who's the biggest employer that is clearly going to be impacted by climate change. So maybe the biggest employer in your district is an automobile company, but the second biggest is an ice cream company, and the ice cream company maybe uses water or something that is a little bit more outside the box that may make them more receptive to your message, but they're also still a useful voice because they employ so many people in your district. And these ones will probably, you know, the same way you have to make a connection with a person from a personal level, these would also be something that is probably going to take some time to get to have a conversation with somebody about climate change and how they're impacted, and then about the bill. But they'll be worth your time if you can get them to a place where they're willing to have that conversation with the member. So the other topic, or the way to think about this, is what are some of the unique impacts that are in your district or your state? And I feel like so many of you all know your districts and your state so much better than we do, which is why we're not telling you to go after an exact company or an exact industry, because it is so state and district specific. And those are the ones that really make the biggest impact on a member, because they love stories, they love relating things back to their district. So a couple of examples, skiing, the ski industry has been really impactful in helping move members in some of those red Western states like Utah, because it is a very lucrative industry, but also they're very directly impacted by climate change. But then another one that I recently heard was that somebody lived in a town or a district that has a lake, and the lake was having a lot more erosion because of, I don't know if it was all sea level rise, but it was sea level rise and some more precipitation that caused them to restrict the speed that boats were allowed to go on this lake, which ruined a water skiing company's business. They can't go super fast on the lake anymore because of climate change, and now they're losing business. And so that's a really unique story that a member can relate to, because it's something really close to them in their district. And it's also something that's a little bit outside the box that gives them not just something that they can then find a reason to work on climate change, but it also may help them have a conversation with other members if they can tell something that's from their district and from the heart. And then again, just thinking through what industries maybe aren't impacted today, but are going to be down the line. So using some of the data of predictions of climate impacts that's coming, and really being creative and thinking through some of these industries and trying to form relationships and further the conversation there. And yeah, just to remember to, you also want to try figuring out, once you think through these, think through who in your group, again, may have connections to those, because it's going to be a lot easier than going just cold turkey. Sometimes that may be worth it, but it's definitely going to be a lot easier if you have an existing connection to someone.
Thanks so much, Stephanie. And I think kind of putting this together, we actually have Ben parachuting in here, as we know, is CCL's, one of CCL's senior directors of government affairs, has a lot of experience in years, really decades on the Hill as a staffer and working for different organizations. And so we asked him to really kind of reflect back and pass on, you know, what his advice might be from that time. And he had four key messages here. Each of them are about a minute long, but they really resonate with what we've already been talking about, the importance of research, the importance of recognizing the relationships that you have in your network and helping make them matter, the importance of bringing trusted messengers from the Grasstops community, and also never underestimating the power of storytelling. So let's hear what Ben has to say, and then we'll keep going.
Congressman Blumenthal is the founder and co-chairman of the Congressional Bike Caucus, and has been very involved with the Rails to Trails program and a lot of different bills around bicycling. And so one thing that he always wears is a bicycle pin on his lapel. And those, anything having to do with cycling is near and dear to his heart. And so there are also these instances where if you do a little research on members, you might find things that they have a personal passion around, and that can really inform what the policies and positions they take on issues. Members do not exist in a vacuum. Their friends and family do have an influence on them. And this is something important to remember. I don't think you should ever try to reach out to the friends and family of members, but if you do have connections with them, they can be influential. One story, several years ago, Senator Mary Landrieu from Louisiana became a champion of shutting down horse slaughter in the United States. And the reason she became a champion of that was quite simply her daughter was an equestrian and saw a documentary on horse slaughter in the United States and went to her mother and said, "Mommy, I want you to stop them from killing the horses." And there was no great in-depth policy look at it. It was she had this request from her daughter to, and that spurned her to make an effort to end that practice. A great example, when I was working on the Hill, watching a grass tops leader influence my former boss, was when a archbishop from the Philippines came to talk to him about a historical bell that had been taken from the Philippines right after the Spanish-American War and the occupation of the Philippines, and the bell had been transported to the United States and was in a museum over here. And my boss, being very Catholic, basically directed us right off the bat to do whatever we could to be helpful to the Archbishop. And what really mattered was that particular messenger, being a high-ranking official in the Catholic Church, mattered a whole lot to my boss, probably more so than the issue itself. And so I think it's a good example of sometimes the messengers matter. And when it's coming from somebody, a trusted or respected source, that can matter a lot to a member, whether or not it's a former businessman and businessman coming to talk to them, or somebody he respects in a religious order, or somebody from an organization that he was a member of or has worked with in the past, that messenger can be very important to change minds on an issue. I think a good example of using a story and an example of how it connects to the district to getting a member on board with something is many years ago, I was working on issues revolving around trails and the lack of trail maintenance on national forest land. And this was a major issue where trails were becoming impassable for recreational users. And to demonstrate this, we had a member of a constituent of a Wyoming congresswoman took the legislative director of that office out on a trail ride to actually show him the condition the trails were in and what bad a shape they were in. And the trees were down. And from that actual demonstration of how it was impacting the district in the state, that turned into a bill that eventually passed and became one of the major pieces of trail legislation of the last 15 years. Well, it's great if you can take your member out or some of their staff and show them the impacts of climate change in the district. You can also bring that to the office in the form of stories. Really paint a picture for the member or staff, what you're seeing and how this is impacting every day. And that can really be brought to life with a good story.
All right. So I think really resonating with the themes, you've already talked about some specific examples of how that has affected members in the past, really key to see that the work that we're doing does have that ripple effect and that impact. So thank you, Ben, so much for sharing that. And let's go to the third and final element of what we're talking about tonight, which is we've done the research, we've done the outreach, we've gotten these connections established. What do we actually do with it? And I'll pass it back to you for that, Stephanie.
Thanks, Brett. Yeah, so I think before I start talking about these four different things, it's important to remember that endorsement for the bill is great and wonderful and should be what we're aiming for. But in some cases, having a relationship is going to be better than an endorsement. And having an organization or a grass top think really highly of CCL and respect the way we work is going to go even further than an endorsement, because members take into account people's opinions as well. And so sometimes if you can't get an endorsement, just think, I just don't want you to be frustrated that that all is lost and that's not going to be helpful, that there are lots of ways to still use grass tops, even if they're not willing to be explicit about an endorsement. And on that same note, being able to take someone into an office and have them say, I support carbon pricing, or I support action on climate change, those are really valuable messages to bring as well, especially if they're from the right messenger, like Ben was talking about. And an example of this was a few years ago, Danny and I went on the Hill with a representative from Unilever, the company. And while they weren't ready to endorse a specific bill, he did say, you know, I'm happy to go with you to offices and say that we support carbon pricing and we support anything that greens the grid. And this is one example of that. And so we went to some offices and talked to their members, and that message was just as powerful as them coming in and saying they supported a bill, because they're a big employer. And having them with us in the office, it gives us respect and clout that then we can go back and leverage later on. So just wanted to clarify that you shouldn't get frustrated if at first somebody's not willing to endorse a bill specifically. You can still really get a lot of use out of their commitment to helping us. So that being said, endorsement is a really great option. We obviously really want people to endorse the bill specifically. And this is preferable if you can get that to carbon pricing generally. But again, that is also a helpful message. And so an endorsement can be just them signing that online on the energyinnovation.org, and submitting it through there. And then just a note to mention that we've moved on to, all the endorsements are stored online. So make sure that you're getting someone to fill out on the website, like I said, and we no longer collect endorsements for climate action or for fee and dividend. We're specifically collecting them online for the bill. But again, you can still use endorsements that are for carbon pricing more generally. You just should still aim to have them join you in the office if they're going to do that. So the second one that can be really useful if you get somebody who's willing to endorse is having them phone call your member. So this is obviously a little bit harder to follow up with, because somebody can say, oh, yeah, I'm going to call. I know Bob really well. I'll give him a call. But it's still a really good ask that if somebody doesn't really want to make a public statement, but they're willing to put in a call to the member directly or their staff, you should absolutely take them up on that. Again, even if they're not willing to explicitly support the bill, you can say, would you be willing to just call and say, you know, you should really listen to these citizen climate lobby folks. I think they have some valuable information, something along those lines, where the member is getting validation for CCL as well as the bill through that endorser or potential endorser. And then raising the bar, the top thing that you really, really want to be aiming for with these endorsements is getting them to join you for a meeting. So I think a lot of the time we've mistaken that getting a letter and an endorsement means you're done and you can brush your hands off and you don't need to worry about that person anymore. We really want to be forming relationships with these people that we're going after and these groups, because them coming to meetings with us and coming to meetings with us more than once, that is really the most valuable thing that we can do. And the reasoning behind this is you really want to show that the support for this policy is coming from a wide range of groups, a wide range of people. If it just becomes known as the CCL bill, or if a member's only hearing about it from CCL, that is not going to give them the backing that they need to know that it's something they should support. So really being able to bring in grass tops leaders with you to a meeting is a really impactful statement that you can make. you want to aim to get a face-to-face meeting with a member, of course, as we always try for, but getting a staff member or a staffer within the office is just as impactful. And you really want to try to train them if they're up for it to talk through how we run our meetings. Some people don't run their meetings like we do, and explaining our process and making sure that they're focusing on their story. And if it's somebody who's the head of an organization or they represent a wider range of constituents, that's really powerful, because then that one person sitting in the meeting with you to the member, they're showing that they're representing a much wider group of people and a wider number of voters, which is really what the member is concerned with. And then again, just to mention, if somebody's not willing to endorse the bill specifically, or maybe they like 90% of the bill, it's totally okay to have them come with you to a meeting and say, you know, we love this bill, these are our concerns, but we strongly recommend that this bill should be moved and should be talked about and should get more support. So there's nuanced ways you can have those conversations. And again, really striving to have the member in the, or to have the endorser in the meeting with you should be what you're aiming for as you work your relationship. And then lastly, sign-on letters are great. They're not the best, but they do matter, especially if you can get them with a large number. So getting two or three of something maybe as not as impactful as getting, say, 1,000. Obviously, it's also dependent on who your member listens to. So if you get 1,000 dog walkers, your member might not care about that, but 1,000 veterans, they might. So again, it's really being able to do that research and figure out who is it that the member is moved by. And that can be emotionally in through their campaigning. But you really want to make sure you're doing research so that whoever it is that you're spending your time on is going to give you the most reward back for your efforts. And then one last note, if you're going to go after elected officials, like county commissioners or past representatives or governors or any sort of elected official, you really want to be careful with the perception of the party. I think this is sort of obvious to most people, but some people think, oh, I'm going to go after all the county and commissioners, and then they realize that their county is mostly Democratic commissioners, or maybe the only people you can get to sign on are Democratic commissioners and your member is a Republican. That is not going to move your member. So really paying attention to what the optics of that message are and the messenger and who it's coming from, again, is really important. And yeah, I think those are all the things I wanted to mention.
Well, so what I'd like to do is just put all of this together with an inspirational story. I'm guessing that many of you have probably heard the efforts that North Carolina and especially the Asheville chapter have done, where they kind of lead the national charge on outreach to the specific industry of the brewing focus. But let's listen and tune in to what Steffi and Don have to share about what this methodology that we've just discussed looked like for their own local chapter and the success that it led to.
I've been doing this for 5 years now, and I also helped to co-lead the Grass Tops Action Team. Asheville is a big beer town, and when I started to look at the background of my congressman, I realized that he was the vice chair of the Small Brewers Caucus. And so looking at his committees and what caucuses he's on, we strategically chose to target endorsements from the breweries. There's lots of them popping up around here. So a lot of employment goes on with breweries here. It does pull in a lot of tourists, so it's big for this town. And being that our congressman was the vice chair of that caucus, it meant a lot. And then looking into that, we found that half the Congress was on the Small Brewers Caucus, which was like an aha moment. Like, wow, we could really work this nationally as well. In targeting, once we figured out who we wanted to target, then we wanted to, you know, look at, who would be, of course, like the most important breweries, but sometimes you have to work your way up. So we worked at reaching out. Well, first of all, Jim Tolbert was lucky enough to get New Belgium's endorsement. That did help a lot. It doesn't always have to work out that way. I think once you get just a couple endorsements, maybe three endorsements, then you're kind of on like a, you're going to ride a wave. Once you just get those first couple ones, usually those are the hardest. And then you ride that wave. And hopefully more and more will start to come in, because then you'll kind of share with others, hey, we have this person signed on, they all know each other, they'll recommend others, they'll say, have you talked to this person, you should talk to that person. And then the next best thing was, after we got so many, around, I think we had 10 endorsements, one of the brewers who speaks a lot with the congressman, because apparently the brewers do that a lot, to talk about taxes and all kinds of things that they're trying to seek tax credits on, etc. One of them had mentioned that we had gotten 10 endorsements to the congressman's office, and they reached out to us to ask about the endorsements. So we felt it was appropriate at that time to set up a meeting or ask them, would you want to have a meeting with the brewers to discuss these endorsements and why they want action on climate and how it's impacting their industry and why they support this solution and or legislation? Out of all the face-to-face meetings we've had with the congressman, we've had 5 so far. This was by far the best and the longest. He allowed us a full hour. He was in district visiting, and so he came to us. And he chose the brewery that he liked to have the meeting at. And that venue was happy to have him and provided food. And so some of the other breweries traveled from far away, but they made it. And we had a really good, genuine one-hour discussion, better than we've ever had. So I think getting meetings with endorsers, when you get enough of them, setting up a meeting with that industry to discuss how it impacts their industry and how this legislation or solution would help, is by far the next best step. So I kind of feel like it's like stepping stones. You know, you work your way from figuring out what committees or caucuses they're on to what endorsers you should get that relate to those, and then setting up a meeting with those businesses and the congressman at that moment. And that's when things really start to fall into place. The other avenue we're taking is financial services committee. That's what our congressman is also a chair in the leadership on. And so we're going to focus now on the banks and insurance industries. So it's just looking at where their interests lie and targeting those endorsements, and then eventually meetings. That's where I feel it's at. I really do.
So what does this mean for you? What does it mean for your district? Oh, a lot of districts across the United States have very specific industries that hold up those districts. Let's think about out in California, like the San Joaquin Valley and all the nut groves out there, specifically the almond trees. Those growers are a great opportunity to engage. That's an industry that we can look to. Another option is in Florida. We think about the citrus growers, the orange growers. There are several districts where citrus production is the main agricultural product. And so when you have that type of single industry that really sustains a single district, you've got a lot of power there. You've got a lot of opportunity in engaging those folks, engaging those business owners, and bringing them to the table so they can share their stories with their member of Congress. And that's what we can do in terms of moving these members so that they see the impact, so they are hearing it, not just from us, but from the folks that are actually on the ground, who are the main drivers, main economic drivers of those districts. The more you can bring in those type of voices, the stronger your voice will be, and the more trusted a voice you will be in Congress, and specifically to your member of Congress.
All right. Thank you, Don and Steffi. As a quick review, conducting your research on your member and taking notes to track relationships is key. then targeting local outreach to major employers and their economic impacts to really tie that story together with who your member should be listening to. And then lastly, really being able to find ways to highlight your Grass Tops Leader's message to your member and bring them along with you is really the key focus for tonight. Would you recommend sharing this with anyone that couldn't make us join tonight and sharing your successes? And the best place to do that is the Grass Tops Engagement Action Team. You can find that URL here. It's active. Steffi, who we heard from just recently, and the wonderful Todd Elvins co-lead that. They're always looking for other people that might have, you know, more information, more suggestions, more stories. Feel free to sign up and be a part of that group and share what's working or what you're struggling with in your community on that forum. And then anything else, just feel free to share on the forums overall. But first and last, thank you so much for being here tonight. We hope that you found tonight's hour training useful. We really look forward to working together and really highlighting the power of building out these Grass Tops engagement voices in our work. But thank you again for being on the line tonight.
Thank you. Bye, Brett. Bye, everybody. Stephanie and Brett.